All right, the dulcet tones of Christopher Cross, Tuesday, 9:40 Pacific time. That means it's time for SailSportTalk.com, and co-hosting this segment, as always, from SailSportTalk.com is Karen Lyle. Karen Lyle joins us live from London at the In-N-Out Navy and Military Club alongside James Pleasance, Executive Director for World Match Racing Tour. Karen, I know you're with James, so go ahead, take it away.
Well, James and I have been having a lovely conversation for the last hour and a half. And James, I would love to ask you a little bit about your most recent intersection between the World Match Racing Tour and the Congressional Cup as to where you go next.
Sure. Well, thank you for having me on the show first. And good to meet you in London, of all places, which is easy for me because I live here.
Yes.
I just got back from Long Beach in California last week, where they had the 59th edition of the Congressional Cup, which is hosted and run by the Long Beach Yacht Club. It's one of the oldest match racing events in one design boats in the world. And notably this year, it was the curtain raiser event, the opening event of the 2024 World Match Racing Tour, which I run. And the tour is a 15-event world tour. And it starts this year at the Congressional Cup and will finish in the city of Shenzhen in China in December. And in between there, we go to places like Montenegro, the island of Marstrand on the west coast of Sweden, to Bermuda at the end of October. So, we have a full year ahead of us.
If you could describe the match racing, which is basically the same discipline as the America's Cup, of course, that goes back to the 1850s. Is it sort of the same genre?
Yes, it's exactly the same discipline. So the America's Cup has always been is the world's oldest sporting trophy. And since 1851, as for as long as most will know, the America's Cup has been a match racing event, which is with the exception of the nuances of some of the rules, is one of the easiest disciplines of sailing to follow, because there are simply two boats on the course and the first one over the finishing line wins and gets 1 point and the second place gets 0 points. So it's a very easy discipline to follow. And we started the World Match Racing Tour in 2000. It's actually the world's longest running professional sailing series. This year is our 24th consecutive year. Really started as a stepping stone to the America's Cup. So when we started it, a lot of the America's Cup teams would use the tour to hone their skills, train their teams, select their crew members, sail against their adversaries and their competitors in preparation for the America's Cup. So most of the names that sailor listeners will know, from Russell Coutts to Sir Ben Ainslie, Jimmy Spittle from Australia, and so on and so forth, you know, have at one point or another sailed on or won events or even won the whole World Match Racing Tour. More recently, the cup, sort of after 2013-14, the cup started to go into the hydrofoiling, firstly through multi-hulls and then into what we see now, these very fast hydrofoiling boats. And so the connection is not as close as it was when we started the tour, but we're still a match racing world tour, and the America's Cup is still a match racing event until someone changes it, but they haven't changed it in over 160 years, so I don't see them changing it quickly. And so the pure skills of match racing still apply, even if you're in a slow boat or a fast boat, so we're still relevant.
And James, a lot of sailors who want to basically become professional sportsmen in the sport will do the match racing, especially to get noticed by teams from America's Cup and others. Can you give us a story of something you know that has come out of this?
Right. Well, there's a lot of the sailors in the current America's Cup and recent America's Cups have at one point or another come through the World Match Racing Tour. You know, for example, I talk about Jimmy Spittle, who famously, you know, multiple time winner of the America's Cup. And he was a regular skipper on the tour in the early days, as was Sir Ben Ainslie, who's now running the British team, and various others. If you look at now, you talk about the opportunity in sailing, you look at the collegiate sailing, particularly in the US, is a big thing. Less so actually in Europe. It's something I think a lot of the European colleges could learn from the US. But the US collegiate sailing is huge. And when these guys come out of, guys and girls come out of college, and I don't know what the age is in the, like 21, 22, when they come out of college, you can't just phone up and say, I want to be an America's Cup skipper and get an interview. You know, you have to earn your stripes. You have to do the world circuits, get known, get recognized through media, through your own performance. And that's really what the World Match Racing Tour does so well, because the cost of competing on the tour is considerably less than other events in the sport. And by that, I mean, you don't have to buy a boat. The boats on the tour events are all provided by the events. So all you're doing is putting some friends together, putting a crew together, and getting on an airplane. And most of the events will provide housing and food, and nearly, well, all of them on the World Match Racing Tour will provide prize money of some sort. So you can actually make money out of it as well. So the opportunity's there.
Could you tell us a little bit more about the Naval and Military Club there down at St. James's Square, and some of the greats, like, you know, did Admiral Horatio Nelson go through those doors?
Well, I guess that's a question for me because I'm a member here. But you remember that we were talking to Sir Robin Knox Johnson and also to Rear Admiral John McAnally. And so Rear Admiral John McAnally was my sponsor here at the In-N-Out Navy and Military Club. It was originally started by Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh, about 75 years ago for the members, the officers in the military, the generals and such, who were about London, and the other private clubs didn't have any room, and they didn't want their officers on their leisure hours recreating out in where they would become the talk of the town. So a private club was needed. And so one was established, and it's been through. See, you, James, you said your father.
Yeah, they
went,
had a,
went by the old the, one.
I can't remember the name of the building because you put me on the spot
Piccadilly,
here.
Right?
But they had a very famous building in Piccadilly, and with a sort of grand entrance where I think in previous days the horse and carts, and more recently the taxis, would come into the club, and there was an entrance and an exit, and it famously had the words "in" and "out" written on the entrance and the exit, and it was known certainly in the circles here, but internationally it became known as the In and Out Club. And they, I don't know when they relocated here, they're not in that building anymore. But just as I was coming into the building this afternoon to meet Karen, there's two pillars outside, and although it's not a formal entrance for vehicles, on one of the pillars it has the word "in" and the other pillar has the word "out", and they retain the name as the In and Out Club. And you talk to many in London and they will know about the In and Out Club, particularly those in the sort of naval and forces. So it's quite a tradition.
So I would like to talk a little bit about women in sailing, because the World Race Matching Tour has now taken on the challenge and the adventure of being able to promote women match racing. Can you tell us a little bit about
that?
That's
right. We did. Yeah, thanks. As if we didn't have enough to organize with the World Tour, and particularly coming off the back of the pandemic, which isn't that convenient when you're trying to run a World Series in sport when most of the world is technically closed for a few years, but we pushed through. But that allowed us to come up with some other ideas. And to cut quite a long story short, we rebranded and relaunched what was an existing Women's International Sailing Series, and we rebranded it within our own World Match Racing Tour brand that was known for a number of years. And we called it the Women's World Match Racing Tour. And we launched it in 2022 as an all-female, in fact, the only all-female World Sailing Series in the sport of sailing, which we're very proud of. And in the first year, we had just over 130 women sailors through match racing teams sign up for four events. That were was in the US, we were in New Zealand, we went to Corfu in Greece and in Denmark, and it was great. We're now in our third year, and women in sport generally, but and particularly women in sailing, there's been a huge surge of interest and momentum of women in sport generally, and we can all see that through, particularly through soccer, through rugby. We were in New Zealand at the end of 2022 with the Royal New Zealand Yacht Squadron, with the women's match racing worlds at the Royal New Zealand Yacht Squadron at the same time that the Women's Rugby World Cup was taking place in Eden Park, the stadium there. And through one of the great connections at the Yacht Club, they were able to arrange for all the competitors at the sailing event to have seats at the final of the rugby. So that was just an example, but it was a huge, huge moment really for women in sport. And that's something we're using the brand of the World Match Racing Tour and the access that for the reasons I was saying, the cost of access on the tour, which is very low, and using it to promote women in sailing, but at this sort of Grand Prix level of match racing. For those that are following the America's Cup, which is in Barcelona this summer, for the first time they have a women's America's Cup, where all female teams will be, and a youth team, but all female teams will be competing on the AC40s, as they're called. And so we're seeing a real upward shift in not just interest in women in sailing, but participation as well. This year for the women's tour, we had six events. Sadly, the first two, one was in San Francisco last week, and then in Annapolis, which would have been this week, sadly had to be cancelled because of the schedules around the America's Cup and for various other reasons this year. But I know the St. Francis Yacht Club in San Francisco ran a very successful training event with some of the teams last week. So that was really great to see that happen. And so I'm excited about it. You know, I want to see where it goes. It's still in its sort of early, you know, we're building it. We're unashamedly say we're looking for you know, partners and brands and sponsors who want to really trailblaze women in sailing, which you know, is quite new to the sport. And so there's lots of opportunities there, not just for the competitors, but also for sponsors. Am I allowed to say, is that a bit of a gratuitous pitch on your show?
Well, no,
thank you for that.
Because of course, we'll take them too.
Okay, wonderful.
All right, everyone, that was James Pleasance. By the way, I loved your Uncle Donald in The Great Escape.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, it's spelled slightly differently, but I'll take it. It's not the first time. There's also a very good wine in Saint Emilion in France after my name as well. So we seem to be, the name seems to be expanding.
Live from the Naval and Military Club in London, Karen Lyle and James Pleasance, Executive Director for World Match Tour and SailSportTalk.com. Thank you so much. And Karen, have a great time in London, too.
Oh, I am having a great time thinking of you, Rick.